Everyone, it's lovely to be with you this evening. It's been a bit of an interesting week, some low lows and high highs, but there is no doubt that Archbishop Rick is the right person to be leading the diocese. I had a very positive experience with him on Tuesday after having a very tricky morning baptising Katie Mackey and then having my priesting interview in the afternoon. When I arrived, Kate Beer had organised a chaplain to take me to his room. And when I walked in, I burst into tears and he straight away said, "Can I pray for you, Amanda?" And then he prayed for Katie. So the heart of that man is exactly what we need. So I just thought I would share that with you. Let me pray. Gracious God, thank you for this series. Thank you that it has been prickly for us. And thank you that it has sparked conversations, Lord. And I just pray this evening that you will speak through me. Amen. Well, I wonder how you're feeling this week. It's been a heavy week in Melbourne, if you're a woman. Last Monday, we all heard that five AFL players allegedly assaulted a woman in a hotel room after a football match. Did those five players get what they deserved? Should they have been rubbed out for the rest of the season? Or should they have been allowed to play footy finals? Or should they have been told that their football careers are over? Have they got what they deserved? We live in a world driven by a simple, unwritten law. You get what you deserve. The world runs a little like this. Early in life, we learn, if you work hard, you earn good money. Share some of your money with others, expect to get something in return, keep working harder, you even earn more money, save up, retire, do lots of travel. On the other side of the ledger, if you break the law, you deserve to go to jail. We cry out for justice when someone escapes the consequences of their actions. And we celebrate when bad behaviour finally catches up with someone. Our entire social framework is built on this exact system of merit, earning, and retribution. But when we bring this into our spiritual lives, we run into a devastating problem. If we truly got what we deserved from a holy and perfect God, none of us would be here. Jesus never said, "You get what you deserve." Let's watch the video.
In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6, it says, "That one person would be punished for the sin of many." Pilate could not find one thing that Jesus had done wrong. But because of the crowd, he handed Jesus over to the soldiers. The soldiers led Jesus away. A man named Simon carried Jesus' cross behind him. And behind Simon, two other men also carried crosses. Now these two men had done the wrong thing. They were thieves. They knew they deserved to be punished. Jesus and the two thieves were taken up the hill outside the city of Jerusalem. Jesus and the two thieves were each nailed to a cross. One thief was on Jesus' right and the other on his left. The crowd made fun of Jesus, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he really is from God." They put a sign above Jesus' head, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the thieves joined the crowd and made fun of Jesus. He said, "If you are the one God promised would come, save yourself and us also."
But the other thief rebuked him. You should fear God. We're here because we've done the wrong thing. We're getting what we deserved. But this man, he has done nothing wrong. Then he turned to Jesus and asked, Please remember me when you are recognized as king.
And Jesus promised, Today you'll be with me in God's great heaven.
The passage begins with Jesus being led away to be crucified. He is physically spent, so the soldiers force Simon of Cyrene to carry his cross. A large crowd follows, including women who are weeping and mourning for him. Look at how Jesus responds to them in this verse. Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. Jesus is pointing out a terrible irony. The crowd looks at him and sees a man suffering a shameful death. By earthly standards, it looks like he is cursed and defeated. But Jesus turns their attention back to reality. He is innocent. He does not deserve this. The real tragedy is not what is happening to Jesus, but what will happen to the people of Jerusalem, which have rejected God. Jesus warns us that if we stand before God and our own merits, demanding what we deserve, we will find ourselves wishing the mountains would fall on us to hide us from his holy justice. The picture here is brutal and so, so sad. Jesus hangs on the cross at Calvary, flanked by two criminals. The religious rulers scoff, saying, He saved others, let him save himself. He is God's Messiah, the chosen one. The soldiers mock him, saying, If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself. Even one of the criminals hanging next to him hurls insults. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. Do you hear the common denominator in their mockery? Save yourself. This is the default setting of the human heart. The world tells us that if you are strong enough, good enough, or powerful enough, you can save yourself. The religious leaders believed their own righteousness saved them. The first criminal just wanted a physical escape from his consequences. They all looked at a dying, bleeding Messiah and concluded, if he can't save himself, he must be getting what he deserves. But they've completely missed the nature of the cross. Jesus could not save himself because he was saving us. If he came down from that cross to prove his power, we would be left to face our own judgment. But then amidst the shouting and mockery, a remarkable thing happens. The second criminal rebukes the first. Don't you fear God, since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. This is one of the most profound confessions in the entire New Testament. This criminal does not offer excuses. He doesn't blame his upbringing, his environment. He looks at his execution and says, We are getting what our deeds deserve. He acknowledges his guilt. True faith always begins here. It begins when we stop defending ourselves, stop comparing ourselves to people who are worse than us, and simply admit the truth to God. I am a sinner. If I am judged by my deeds, I deserve separation from you. This thief saw what the religious leaders couldn't see. He looked at his own guilt. He looked at Jesus' perfect innocence, and he realized that the innocent man was dying the death of the guilty. After acknowledging his guilt, the criminal turns his head towards Jesus and makes a breathtaking request. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Think about the audacity of this prayer. He has no time left to turn his life around. He cannot go back and undo his crimes. He cannot be baptized, join a church, give to the poor, or be part of a connect group. He is nailed to a piece of wood, facing a very, very painful death. He has absolutely nothing to offer Jesus except his sin and his desperate need. He has no right to deserve anything from a king. According to the human law of you get what you deserve, Jesus should have ignored him or said, "It's too late for you. Nothing can save you from this." Instead, Jesus responds with the most beautiful words, "Truly I tell you, today you'll be with me in paradise." This is the gospel, people. Jesus does not give this man what he deserves. He gives him what Jesus deserves. On the cross, a holy exchange took place. Jesus took our sin, our shame, and our punishment, everything we deserved, so that we could receive his righteousness, his acceptance, and his eternal life, everything he deserved. Salvation is not a wage earned by the worthy. It is a gift received by the desperate. The thief on the cross didn't enter paradise because he lived a good life. He entered paradise because he trusted the one hanging next to him. My friends, which cross do you find yourself on today? Are you like the first thief, bitter about your circumstances, demanding that God fix your life on your own terms and still trying to save yourself through your own efforts? Or are you ready to join the second thief? Are you ready to stop pretending you have it all together? Are you ready to admit that you cannot save yourself? Drop your defences and cry out, "Jesus, remember me." You don't have to be perfect to come to Jesus. You don't even need to clean up your life first. The Saviour who welcomed a dying criminal with open arms is ready to welcome all of us today. So thankfully, if we love and follow Jesus, we don't get what we deserve, but we get Jesus instead. We get forgiveness even when our own decisions lead us to bad places. We get hope that outlasts death, and we get a gift that we could never repay or perform our way into. And that's the best news that I have heard this week. Amen.